for Memorial Day. One of them is Sir Winston Churchill, who said, "Evil prevails when good men do nothing." The other thing that was very profound was actually said by General Douglas MacArthur when he left the Philippines. He said, "The battle is first fought in the heavens before it's fought on earth." And when you think about that, we fight against evil. There is an evil out there that we fight against, and it's up to the church to stand up. Amen. It's up to the church. And this Memorial Day, we remember those that have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life. But I charge you to remember the ones that came back different. My brother was one of them. He came back different. He's not the same person. He doesn't think the same. He can barely hold a thought. He's not the same brother that I grew up with. And he talked with me a little bit about it and the things that he had to see and experience. And Brother Jim posted on Facebook about the people that you see pictures of that were in the Vietnam War. Yeah, that's not what it was about. That's not what it was about. Remember those. You never know who you're going to come in contact with. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter number 51. Psalm chapter 51. We're going to start in verse 7. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
A couple people there, quick. Verse 7 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Father, we love you tonight, Lord, and I just thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, I thank you for an honor to be able to speak your words, Father God. Lord, that's what you've laid on my heart, Father God. Lord, let these lips of clay, Father, just anoint them, Father, to speak what you'd have me to speak, Father God. Anoint ears to receive your word and hearts to receive your word, Father God. And I thank you for all that you're going to do in this place, Father God. Just have your will and your way, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The 51st Psalm talks a lot about how David, and we know the story, he went in unto Bathsheba and they bore a son, or she bore a son. And the son didn't live very long. The son died, got sick and died. And it was because of the sin that David did that the son had died. And David was very sorrowful, not only just for the sin that he did, but he was also sorrowful that his son died. Let me tell you something, there's a lot of Christians, and Brother Eddie touched on it briefly this morning. We walk around with prune faces. We walk around discouraged and in despair, when that's not what we were designed to be. I've told you before, I've got a gentleman that works for me, and he does these blogs, and he tries to encourage. He's a motivational speaker, but he tries to do it without Jesus. And I tell everybody, I said, you can't have joy without the J. It's going to be old boy. You know, it's not going to work out for you. It's going to be something temporary that's not going to hold. You can't have that true joy. People are looking for joy in this world. You say, Brother Chris, how come you can say that? Because people will turn to drugs and turn to pornography and turn to this and turn to that and turn to whatever makes them feel good temporarily. Whatever gives them that temporary high. Man, I got to feel good and I got to go to the next high and everything's got to make me feel better and feel better. When the thing about it is I can't feel joy because I've not let Jesus fully come into my heart to be able to experience that joy. Let me take you back just a little bit before we go any further in Psalms 51. Take you back to 2 Samuel chapter number 6. And I love this story. And I know that y'all that were in Sunday school last Sunday, you heard this story, but here it goes again. So write it up again. Amen. Again in verse 1, "Again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, about 30,000. He brings all of the chosen men of Israel, 30,000 men. Okay, I want you to really get the picture of what's going on here. what happened was Israel had lost the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of Almighty God. It represented the presence of Almighty God. And David knew, he said, I knew that the king that was before me, Saul, he was an evil man. He tried to do good, but it didn't turn out good. He ended up seeking soothsayers to get peace from him. He told David, he said, just play on your harp one time and let me get a little bit of peace. Let me get a little bit of joy in my life. See, he was looking for that joy, for that temporary joy. He knew what the everlasting joy was, but he was only looking for that temporary joy. And David said, I'm going to be king. I'm going to do things the right way. I'm going to do things. And he was just gung-ho. Remember how it was when you first got saved? You were just gung-ho for the Lord. I'm going to tell the world about Jesus and everything. And all of a sudden, life seems to happen. Amen. I had this young man that was working for me, had been working for me a couple weeks, and he sent me this big, long text with his resume and everything else. And he said, Chris, I just want you to know that I'm more than just a delivery driver, and I've got a bachelor's degree, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I've got that. I mean, just a big old long text. And I'm thinking to myself, you remind me of me when I was your age. So the next morning I came in, and I pulled him to the side, and I said, let me talk to you a minute. He said, yes, sir. I said, you remind me of me when I was that age. I said, you're young. You got a young family, and you think you can go out and conquer the world. And I said, I admire you for that. But let me tell you something, life happens to you. Sometimes things come on you. Sometimes, you know, the way that you turn out that you wanted to be, sometimes you have to make a right turn. Sometimes you might have to make a left turn. But you know what? Ultimately, God's fully in control of that. Ultimately, God's holding the steering wheel. If we go to the right, there's a song that I love to sing. And every time we go up to Knoxville, to the youth get together we have up there, amazing, amazing. If you ever get a chance, it's amazing. But they sing it. They sing it every year. And it's talking about, I've got a river, a living water. Y'all might know the song. But it talks about, if it moves to the right, I'm going to move to the right. If it moves to the left, I'm going to move to the left. I'm going to jump, 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 jump in the river. You see, we want to come in and we want to dabble our feet in the river. We just want to get our feet a little bit wet and go home and say, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. We had us a time in the Lord, didn't we? When the whole time God's trying to say, why don't you just go ahead on and jump in the river? That ain't even in my notes. Why don't you just go ahead on jumping in the river and let it overtake you? Let it just wash everything that's within you. Who cares about what people to the right or to the left think about you? It's worried about what God thinks about you. Amen. Why don't you jump in that river and you start feeling refreshing like you've never felt before. You'll start feeling that oil of joy like you've never felt before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. David gathered around all of Israel. And then verse number 2 said, and David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. Somebody say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. They set it upon a new cart. Amen? Uh-oh. That's a uh-oh. David didn't know. He didn't know. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab in verse 4, which was at Gibeon, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and on psalteries, and on timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. Wow, you talk about a noise. Let me tell you something. There was a noise broadcast throughout the land. The ark is coming back. The ark is coming back. And don't you know that David felt... Turn me on here on this one. Don't you know that David felt like he had it all under control? Man, the ark's coming back. He was, woo, hallelujah. The ark is coming back. The Spirit of the Lord is coming back. I know he's thinking in his mind, man, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And the whole time God's saying, not that way. Not that way. You're not going to do it that way and get away with it. You're not going to do it. So they come across Nahum's threshing floor. The ark moves a little bit. And Uzzah, isn't it amazing that Uzzah's name means strength? Strength was zapped. Boom, right there. Let me tell you something, on a little side note right here. You think you can do your sin and get away with it? That ain't going to happen. Amen. That ain't going to happen. There's going to be a price that you're going to pay one day. And God's recording this. Amen. You better get it under the blood. You better get it. Things that are done in the night will be brought to the light. Amen. I said things that are done in the night will be brought to the light. And everybody's going to see. There's going to be, let me tell you something. When we get to, oh, hallelujah, the judgment seat of God, everything that you've ever done in your life is going to be plastered across that wall, honey. And there ain't going to be no shame right there. Everything that you thought that nobody knew nothing about is going to be right there. And everybody's going to see it and say, oh my goodness. And God's going to say, now wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Did you accept me or did you not accept me? There is a blood trail. Hallelujah. And there's a river of blood. Hallelujah. That we're going to jump in. It's going to cover. My Bible tells me it covers a multitude of all sins. Hallelujah. Of all sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Uzzah touches the ark. Boom. God strikes him dead. Uzzah means strength. The Bible says that in verse number 8, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. You ever been displeased with the Lord? Oh, come on. Go ahead and admit it. Lord, I sure thought my life was going to turn out a whole lot different than what it did. God, how come we didn't this and how come we didn't that? You know, I worked with a guy one time. He said, Chris, I'm working on my second million. I said, well, that's awesome. He's like, yeah, I don't give up on my first. People go out and they look for automobiles. They look for new houses. They look for this and they look for that. They look for relationships. That's not where it's at. That's not where the joy is at. So David is displeased with God. He's hurting with inside. You ever come across somebody who's hurting? I mean, deeply hurting? Their joy has been robbed from them. They can't smile. It's hard to smile. Listen, honey, let me tell you something. I've been there. It's hard to smile. Every day seems like it's a recurring nightmare. Everything happens again and again. You're thankful for the blessings. God, I thank you for the blessings. I thank you for everything. But you don't understand. Things have happened in my life. God, you let things happen in my life. And I don't understand why, God. I don't understand why this happened and why that had to happen. I don't know why I have to walk through. It seems like a desert sometimes. But let me tell you something. I read a devotional this week. Glory to God. And he was talking about, have you ever been to Texas? And Brother Eddie was talking about Texas. Have you ever been to Texas? Anybody ever been to Texas? You look and it looks like a barren land. And sometimes it feels like I'm walking through a barren land. Sometimes it feels like a desert. But let me tell you something. On that barren land, there's things that the people don't know about Texas. Billions of dollars of oil are below the surface in Texas. God's trying to tell you, hey, you might have to walk through a desert land, but what's underneath that desert land is going to sustain you. What's underneath that desert land is going to carry you. You might have to go through the hard times, but let me tell you something. It'll make you that much more thankful for the happy times, and it'll make you that much more thankful for the glad times. Hallelujah. If I'd never known sorrow, I could never know happiness. If I've never been sad, I could never be glad. Hallelujah. If I've never known defeat, I could never know victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So David is displeased. God, why did you let this happen? He sets the ark to the side for 3 months. We're going to leave the ark right here. He's displeased. He's discouraged. He's lower than a snake's belly, as the old saying used to go. He is beside himself. Don't nobody talk to me because I'm going to go and cry a little bit. Anybody been like that? I'm going to have me a little bit of pity party right here because don't nobody ever been through what I've been through. Ain't nobody going through what I've gone through. You ever been like that? You isolate yourself. For 3 months, he isolated himself. The word came back to David and said, hey, Obed-Edom, you remember that guy who left the ark? That dude is blessed beyond all measure. The Bible does not say if it was with money, if it was with goods, but I know something. Everything that attached itself to Obed-Edom was blessed. Oh my. Let me tell you something. A blessing ain't always money. It could be your health. Hallelujah. It could be your loved ones getting saved. And suddenly there was, oh hallelujah. That, talk about a blessing. Now that's a blessing. Let my loved one get saved and see if I don't shout. Let your loved one get saved. Then tell me that ain't a blessing. Hallelujah. The Bible says him and all his house was blessed. All his household was blessed. And David hears that and says, you know what? I'm going to go back. I might have did it the wrong way the first time, but God, it's going to be right this time. It's going to be right this time. And so what's he do? He goes back to the house of Obed-Edom and he gets that ark. And he picks up that ark. And he, for every 18 foot, the Bible says every 6 paces, he stops and he dances before the Lord with all his might. When's the last time you danced before the Lord with all your might? You know what it's high time we start doing? It's high time that we start dancing upon our graves. It's high time we start saying, hey, that thing right there is under my feet. You know what God told Abraham? God told Abraham, every place you put your foot belongs to you. Everywhere your foot sets to belongs to you. You know, if I was Abraham, you know what I'd start doing? Start walking, baby. Start walking. Everything you got is under your feet. Hallelujah. That's for somebody. Hallelujah. It's under your feet. It's under your feet. Why do you let it keep on raising up in front of you? It's under your feet. A snake, when you ever mess with snakes at all? In Florida, we know what snakes are. A dead snake is a good snake. That's, you know, unless it's a king snake, that's, you know. I remember one night we come home from church and there was a coral snake on our front porch. So Mom said, go up there and see if, you know, do y'all know the old saying, red and yellow kill a fella? Red and black okay with Jack? Yeah, we're saying, jub, 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 jub. You know, which one was it? Which one? Leave it there. It's a good snake. I hope it is. Just in case. Just get him out of here. But I remember me and my brother, we used to take, we call them black racers. It's not a moccasin, but it looks like one. And you have to be very careful and notice the difference. So me and my brother thought we'd be bright. Yeah, wasn't very bright. And chase that thing. And that thing turned and come back to us. And we was like, ah! You know? That's what we do with Satan. We say, Satan, we got you on the run. That dude turns around and comes back on us. And we scream in terror. God's got this. It's under our feet. It's time that we stomp that devil on the head. My Bible tells me, and I just want to bring it back to your remembrance, that whenever Jesus died on the cross, my Bible tells me that it bruised the snake upon his head. You know why it bruised him on his head and not his tail? Because he knew that if he bruised that head, that Satan couldn't do nothing to you that God didn't allow him to do. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear that. I remember reading Job. He said, Satan come and said, hey, I've been around to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. But let me contemplate your servant Job. He seems like such an upright man. Let me take your hedge of protection around him and take it off. And what did Job say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You think he had a little bit of joy going on in his pain? Amen. Yeah, he was hurting. Yeah, he was sorrowful. But let me tell you something. He still had the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord was his strength. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about the oil of joy. Anybody ever mess with oil? It leaves a residue. On everything it touches, it leaves a residue. And you can smell it for days. Even if you wash your hands, you can smell it for days. And it reminds you, I remember messing with that oil. Remember, you know, I'm the world's worst about when I check the oil on the wife's car. I don't have, and I know I shouldn't do this, I don't have a rag I pulled off on my hands. Just, you know, I should not do that, I know. But I'm just the world's worst about that because I don't think, I've all done it my whole life, you know. And it leaves a residue. The Bible says the oil of joy. He'll give you the oil of joy. Hallelujah. The oil that ran down Aaron's beard was like, the Bible says, was like the dew of Hermon. If you've ever really researched the dew of Hermon, you see the worshipers would go up into the Mount Hermon. And Hermon was a very dry and desert place. And when they'd go and they'd worship, when they'd worship, the praises that went up to the Lord was amazingly, the dew would come down so thick, it would be like rain. It would be so thick it would cause things to start growing. Hallelujah. We've been walking across deserts and not opening up our mouth and saying, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. No wonder the things aren't growing in our life, because we're not watering them. We're not watering them. When the water comes out, the river that I talked about a while ago, when that river, I've got a river, a living water, a fountain that never shall run dry, is what the song says. It's burning within inside of me. And when I open up my mouth and I start speaking things out, Lord, you're good. Lord, you're great. Lord, you're wonderful. And I start speaking these things, suddenly things start coming to life. Things start coming up. Let me tell you something. You think that you're in a dark place, and you think that nobody's around you, and you think that only I've been just buried. I've been buried. Let me tell you something. That's the same thing the seed thought too. But when the water started coming, the farmer started watering that seed, and it started coming up, and it started growing. Things started happening. Amen? Yes. Right. So David brings back the ark. Every 18 foot, he stops and praises. Now, can you imagine being one of the priests or one of the other 30,000 people? Hey, David, he ain't gone but about 3 miles. It's 3 days later. He didn't care. He didn't care. He knew that when he brought the ark back, oh, hallelujah, somebody needs this. When he brought the ark back, that was going to restore his joy. He looked back in his rearview mirror and he said, you know what? I remember those things. I remember that hurt, Lord. And I remember all those things that you brought me through. And isn't it amazing also that Obed-Edom dwelled in Gath? Wow. Remember Goliath of Gath? So the Lord also brought back to his remembrance. Remember those giants that you faced before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I heard it. I can't remember when I heard it, but I think it was this morning. And I heard it. That those Philistines that you faced, those Egyptians that you faced, you'll never face them again. Amen. That's what God told Moses. When you're coming out, hallelujah. When you're coming out of Egypt and you're coming out of bondage, God's saying, look back, because that's the last time you're ever going to see them. That's the last, glory to God. That's the last time you're ever going to have to deal with that. Hallelujah. But then Michael looks on David, Michael, his wife, and says, oh my. Verse 16, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michael, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. In verse 17, and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. In verse 20, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, I could just imagine with a smart remark, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of the servants, and as one of the fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me. Somebody said, he chose me. Hallelujah. He chose me before the Father, before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and out of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. David said, if you think you've seen something now, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen joy to the likes of I felt. Hallelujah. Verse 7 of Psalms 51, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Lord, have you ever been into a place where all I want to hear is joy? All I want to hear is gladness. Sometimes on Saturday night, and I've done this for years, I'll turn on like the old gospel radio stations on my phone, or I'll tune in on TV and listen to the old Bill Gaither, the old gospel, because I've done it for years. And I'll listen, and it takes me back. And I remember getting ready for service on Sunday. And I don't know if you grew up like I did, but we always had to polish our shoes, because Mom and Dad always believed that when you went to service, that you would always bring your best. It wasn't our best as far as what the world thought, but it was our very best. The best thing we had in the closet, that's what we was bringing. And we would shine our shoes up every Saturday night. Anybody ever done that? Man, them shoes would be good to go. They'd be nice. That's what we did on Saturday nights. And we'd listen to the old hymns. We'd listen to them play on the radio. And I'm not that old. And I remember them playing on the radio. And sometimes I can go down memory lane when some songs are sung up here. My dad used to have a Southern Gospel singing group, and the songs that he would sing, I remember, and I think, man, he's passed on now, and I think about how he's singing them up over there in glory. Right. Hallelujah. That's one of the things, you can lose people in your life, and you say, God, why did you have to take them? And you can be happy on the outside, and the world thinks you're happy, but on the inside, you're crying out saying, God, why did you do that? God, why did you do that? Just like David did. God, why did you do that? When I can step back and I can look and I can see the whole picture, and I can say, God, ultimately you're in charge of everything and you're the boss. You're the boss. When my employees come to me, they say, Chris, what about this? And Chris, what about that? And a lot of times I reserve the answer, but when I'm tired of hearing them bellyaching and complaining, I say, because I'm the boss, that's why. Because I am the boss. End of conversation. That's it. My sons say, Dad, why this and why that? Because I'm the daddy, that's why. Because I'm the dad. No other reason needs to be given, but I'm the daddy. You know, I hate giving that, because to me it's like I want to explain myself, but hey, that's it. I'm done hearing the talking. That's it. I think God does that with us sometimes. Because I'm God, that's why. Amen. Verse number nine. Hide thy face from mine sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart. Let me tell you something. If you think you're a good person and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I got news for you. You ain't going to make it. You're not good enough. You're not. I've given to the poor and I've done this and I've done that. You're not good enough. Because the standard that God has set is so far high, not only can you not attain it, you can't even see it. The only way to get there is through the cross and through the blood of Jesus. David said, create in me a clean heart. God, this heart that I've got right now, you're going to have to take it out. You're going to have to take it out and give me a new one. Give me a brand new heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. This old junky spirit that I've had going on, this old sour face, God, that's not me. That's not who I am. Amen. Anybody ever had those moments? That's not me. One of my guys, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm hungry. Leave me alone. I'm hungry. I done got hangry. Brother Keith can attest to that. I done got hangry. Leave me alone. Just give me some food. Hallelujah. Man. I'm hungry. I get home, my wife says, you should have packed you something for lunch. I know. And so do the people I work with. They know too. Cast me a knot away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I'm reminded of what Moses told the Lord as he's on Mount Sinai. Brother Rowdy, he said, Lord, if thy Spirit go not with us, carry us not up hence. It ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it. God, if you're not going to go with me, I'll stay right here. But God, if you'll go with me, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Hallelujah, because I know you've already opened the door and you've made the way. You made my pathway straight. Amen. Hallelujah. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When I think about restoration, he had to restore something because it wasn't there. When you restore an automobile and you restore it properly, it's what they call a frame-off restoration. In other words, you have to disassemble that whole entire automobile and you make it better than new. When something is restored, it's made better than new. That's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to breathe that breath of life into us. He wants to say, hey, you know what? You've been walking around sad, but let me tell you something. I got something for you. It's just like Brother Jim was talking about a while ago. I believe God's got a calendar up there, and we don't know where the end's at. Let me tell you something. The end could be tomorrow. Everything that we're seeing in the Middle East points to that this generation is going to be the one to see the King coming back. And one day we're going to see Him coming back, clothed in righteousness. Hallelujah. I'm going to be with Him. Hallelujah. When He howls. Hallelujah. Oh, so shall we ever be with the Lord? Before we get too excited. Turn over here in John chapter number 16. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know what? Let's do John 16. I'm just feeling that. John 16, starting in verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Hallelujah. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. There ain't but one person that can do that for you. Hallelujah. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you.
John 14 and verse 1, you don't have to turn there. Let not your heart be troubled. This is also Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Let me get just a little bit excited. I go and prepare a place for you. I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Hallelujah. You see, you don't understand. You don't understand the road I've been down. You don't understand the things I've been through. You've been through some things. I've been through some things. Let me tell you something. My Bible tells me, oh, hallelujah, that we are blood-bought sinners. Hallelujah. That our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And let me tell you, it gets a little bit better than that. If you want to have you a little bit of shouting fit, it tells me that we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. That means daddy. I don't know if you know this or not, but somebody that's an adoptive has more legal right to the father than one that is actually born. Did you know that? One that is adopted, you have to actually sign papers saying, I'm going to take care of this child. That's why Jesus said, you're adopted. I wrote it out in blood for you. I gave my life for you. There ain't no greater sacrifice than what I gave for you. There ain't no better love than what I gave for you. Hallelujah. And we're blood bought. Children of the Most High God, you walk around saying, I'm nobody, I'm nobody, I'm nobody. Don't you believe that lie of the devil? Jesus said, I thought you was good enough to die for. I thought you was good enough to lay down my life for. Hallelujah. There ain't nobody like him. He don't want you walking around in defeat. He's paid the price for your victory. He's paid the price for your joy. Why do we walk around defeated? Why do we walk around in the mully grubs? Stand up, child of God. It's high time you realize who you are. Every morning when I wake up, I look into my mirror and I say, devil, you're a liar. That is not the person I really am. Y'all can laugh. It's funny, okay? My wife's over there laughing. That's not the person that I think I am. Because the person I think I am is 6'2", 225 pounds, all muscle, you know. You know that Sabra hummus commercial? I still look buff. Yeah, I still look buff. To me, I do. When it comes down to it, man, I'm walking through the warehouse the other day, and this old skinny fella comes up to me. He said, "You sure are a big old boy." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Man, you must eat good." And I said, "Well, let me tell you, like my football coach told me when I first went and walked on the field, son, you're going to get right in the middle of the line and just don't move." I got it. Yes, sir. People look at you and they're waiting for a response. I tell everybody all the time, denial's not just a river in Egypt. I know. I know. I was telling my wife had made some stuff for the people I work for, and everybody was just raving over it. Man, Chris, I don't see how you don't weigh 400 pounds. Hush your mouth. I said, what you talking about? How much you weigh? I said, that's between me and God, not you. I said, I'll just tell you like this. I said, I'm almost doubling weight as when I got married. They said, man, I can see how. I was like, yep. So I know what it is. I'm like, Adam, Lord, it's that woman's fault. It's that woman's fault. I ain't going to be able to eat for a week. Y'all want to help me out? The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Will be your strength. How'd you make it through that? How'd you go through? And how are you still smiling? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. My boys tell me all the time, Dad, you come up with the most corniest jokes I've ever heard in my life. And I tell them what my baby sister used to tell me all the time. If I laughed at it, it was funny to me. Amen. You ain't got to laugh at it. But if I laugh, and I'm the worst joke teller, man, I'll get so tickled and I can't even get it out. But man, you know what? I like being happy. That's who I am. I like to be happy. When I was working in Florida, one of the guys, he said, man, he said, when God made you, He was handing out looks, and you thought he said books, and you said, give me a funny one. I said, yeah, I got some funny looks, all right. But you know what? I figured out a long time ago, it's easy to frown, and it's hard to laugh. But sometimes you need to laugh your way through your troubles. Laugh your way, because when we get to the other side, Brother Jim, let me tell you something, and one day we're going to pass that threshold, glory to God, into the other side, and we're going to look back at this little measly life we had in comparison to eternity. It's going to be just a measly little bit of time, and we're going to look back and we're going to say, what did I do? What seeds did I plant? What joy did I share? Hallelujah. Because that's what's going to be. Oh man, can you imagine 100 years in the amount of eternity? How long is eternity? Our mind cannot comprehend how long eternity is. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, hallelujah, where I was getting to a while ago before I got too excited. He said, you know what? When that trumpet sounds, when he stands out on the cloud and he blows that trumpet, oh, hallelujah. The Bible says the dead in Christ will be raised up first. Oh, glory to God. I don't know if you've got some people that have gone on before. Hallelujah. But they'll be raised up first. Hallelujah. And then we which will remain, that's you and that's me, honey, will be caught up with them. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. We'll be caught up with them. And it gets even gooder than that. We'll be caught up with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible also says, comfort one another with these words. How can you have joy, Brother Chris? Because I'm not going to stay in this land forever. I'm just a pilgrim in this land, and I'm passing through. I'm just a pilgrim, and I'm passing through. Don't get too comfortable. Don't get too adjusted to this world. Because this world, child of God, is not your home. This is not where you're meant to stay. Hallelujah. Thank God this is not where you're meant to stay. Hallelujah. The Bible says, occupy till he comes. And I plan on occupying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just going to sit back and do nothing. I'm going to occupy till he comes. But let me tell you something. Every once in a while, I think to myself, was that the trumpet I heard sounding? Is that the trumpet I heard? And I might get a little bit excited when I start thinking about my home place and I'm going to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, I've got a mansion over there. And that's all good and well. But I'm going to see my Jesus face to face. Hallelujah. And I'm going to dwell with him. Hallelujah. There's going to be no more night. Hallelujah. And everything's going to be glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We can't even comprehend. My goodness. Somebody needs to think about heaven and start getting joyous. Start getting that joy in your spirit. Those things that you try to get joy out of, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. Listen to me. I get joy out of watching my kids DJ. I love watching them DJ.